Christmas message here to you. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And I think we have a lot of reason to gripe if we wanted to gripe about 2020, but I think we should give glory to the Lord and praise the Lord for his goodness, because none of us deserve what we have. Amen. And I really want you to be praying about giving the Lord glory and praise during this time, during this Christmas time. You know, Christmas to me used to always be a bummer, but I wasn't saved, especially when I wasn't saved. It always seemed like it was a financial burden, you know. But the Lord changed my heart after I come to know Christ as my Savior, and I realized that Jesus was the reason for the season. Yeah. It changed me, you know, and it has become a time that I've really enjoyed. You know, I'm trying to enjoy it more. My wife has always tried to, you know, push me along. Come on, you know, get in. Because she loves Christmas. She's always embraces the season, always decorate, you know. And so every year I try to do it, help her a little bit more. And this year I did a little bit more for her. And you take care of your wife, amen. Dummy. Amen. No, I was talking to me, right? So I heard this Christmas story I wanted to share with you. And so as the Christmas season descends, we're seeing countless commercials of things we're supposed to buy. It implies the promise that if you give this or if you receive that, you'll be happy. Certainly, there's a rush of excitement in receiving a very special gift. But for the most part, you probably can't remember what you got for Christmas last year, even though it seemed so important then. And the person who wrote this said, "It reminds me of a husband and wife who went Christmas shopping at the mall. The husband wandered off, so the wife called him and asked him where he was. He said, 'Remember that jewelry store we went to 10 years ago?' the husband asked. 'You saw that beautiful diamond necklace, and I said I couldn't afford it then, but one day when I had a little money, I would buy it for you.' She said, 'Yes, I remember,' trying to catch her breath. He said, 'Well, I'm at the donut store right next door to it.'" Now, if you don't like that story, you could talk to Steve Bernard in the back, because he's the one who gave it to me. Amen. No, don't do that. That would not be a very smart thing to do. Go ahead, brother. What were you going to say?
I'm sure he
wouldn't. No. No, he didn't mean anything by it. He was just... Yeah, he was just not the sharpest pencil in the lot, right? Well, in Luke chapter 1, I want us to see something for this Sunday and next, because we're not going to be able to have enough time to finish it today. But I want you to look at something with me, and we'll roll into it. But it's called the My Magnificent Song, and it's called Mary's Song. And the song is actually found in chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. But we'll back up on that, and we'll read a little more on this. I'd like to start with verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, and I want to look at Mary. You know, I'm ashamed to say I haven't preached a whole lot of sermons on Mary. Joseph, Mary's husband, has always been a grand subject for me. I like him, and we'll touch on his life a little bit, but I've never really, don't remember ever really focusing in on Mary. You know, that's the joy of the Word of God. You know, there's just so much there that, you know, you don't need to hunt around for a sermon. Just read the Bible, amen, and get into the Word. And so in this, I wanted to share about Mary's, about the incarnation, about Christ coming into the world, and how the Lord sent an angel, Gabriel, to speak to Mary. And it was such a magnificent story that changed human history forever. And I thank the Lord for it. So in Luke chapter 1, we'll start in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man named was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hey, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And I really like how the Lord does his work among his people, and he doesn't leave you to wonder. He wasn't leaving Mary to wonder, and you can only imagine what's going through her mind at this time. But you see, right away, the Lord encourages her and tells her in verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." So if you know the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, you'll see she was barren. She was very aged, and God gave her a son. And you know who that son is? That son was John the Baptist, the bridge builder, the one that went ahead of Jesus Christ. And she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. So she was 6 months along. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Yeah, that is a good verse, because it would seem impossible for an older woman to have a child. But if you know the story of Abraham and Sarah, you know that with God, nothing is impossible. Verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." So she didn't waste any time. Gabriel told her, "Hey, you know, you're gonna be a mother. You're gonna be the mother of God, and yet you're not gonna know a man. And then also, I'm doing miracles with your cousin Elizabeth." And immediately she goes and sees her. And when she entered into the house, verse 41, "It came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutations of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Can you imagine that old John the Baptist? When Mary, I believe that the conception of Jesus was done sometime between when the Gabriel told her that she was going to conceive Jesus, right? And then from that time until she met Elizabeth, the scripture doesn't tell us exactly what the exact timing was, but I believe that it was happening. because the scripture says it, says that, and you'll see it in a minute here, that when Mary arrives on the scene, that the baby leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out loud with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." It's interesting that, I don't know, in this age of technology with texting, Facebook, all the social media and stuff, it wasn't like Mary, back in Nazareth, said, "Hey, I'm going to come and see you, cousin. I got some news. God came and visited me." Nope, she just went. And when she got there, the connection was made. Yeah, when God's in it, it's awesome. Verse 43, and she spake out loud with a loud voice. Some say that this is Elizabeth's song. "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of their womb." In verse 43, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your blessed word. And I pray, Lord, as we continue to, in the next few minutes, to go over this, I pray that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that Mary meets the angel Gabriel, that this great news was delivered, the Savior is to be born, and Mary was troubled at first, and then Gabriel told her not to be afraid. She said, "How can this be?" And then he reassures her by telling her about Elizabeth, and she goes and sees Elizabeth, and we see here, picking the story back up, let me find my note here, that she went and seen Elizabeth. And in verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." So this is Mary's song. This is called the Magnificent song. And I know that some people have took that to say that Mary is the Magnificent. She is not the Magnificent.